definitely a band is the core of it. Yeah, we play music, but then we find ways to formulate it in different interactive art ways, I guess.
Like putting it in a planetarium.
Like, we have a comic book that we put out with one of our albums. We're constantly doing stuff with visuals. We used to have a live video glitch artist that would do our shows for us. He would use three VCRs and he would glitch out visuals while we played. We toured with him in the Pacific Northwest. So we like to embrace mostly like old tech.
All right, so we are sitting down with Conquer Monster, Daniel Romero and Joshua Faulkner of Conquer Monster. And when asked to describe what is Conquer Monster, the answer was like a band in sort of different places, I guess, using different elements. And tonight they will be in a planetarium. And that's coming up here. It's sold out already.
It is sold out.
Yeah.
It sold out last night.
It sold out last night.
Congratulations.
So people awesome. Know. People yeah. know. Yeah. All right, tell us a little bit about Conquer Monster.
Okay.
How'd you start? Yeah. Are you friends?
Yeah. Okay, you want to start there? Yeah, so we became friends just over synth gear. Yeah, that was the core. So I'll let Daniel tell you about his stuff in a second, but my stuff that I play on stage is like obsolete computing equipment that I've modified into synthesizers.
Right, and one of the pieces of equipment would be
Commodore 64.
Commodore 64, yeah. Okay,
Commodore 64 and Game Boy are the ones that I'll be playing live tonight. I play around with other things like Atari 2600, NES,
Genesis,
Apple II. Yeah. I haven't done Genesis yet, but I'm open to stuff like that.
Okay, what brought you to that place? What was it about the old tech? Because a lot of these are before you. I don't want to judge age at all. Everything you've mentioned I played when I was young, but at the same time, I'm a little bit older. Perhaps,
the Commodore 64 is older than I am. I think it's just I still had nostalgia for that stuff. I guess my true nostalgia is like NES, like that type of sound. But as I researched it more, the Commodore 64 just has a more like versatile sound chip. Because it's a digital chip, but it has analog filters. And so it has a little more like life in it. And it's just a more broad sound. We can use it for a lot of different things, where the NES kind of fits just into a small area.
And so the two of you were at an old tech club.
Dinner party.
In my head, I'm picturing some kind of swap meet dinner party.
There were bow ties involved.
No, so Josh was performing at a house party, and it was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that. And, you know, I have a slew of vintage synths, and I was just like, what is this new realm I've never even seen before? And so we just started talking, and I was like, here's all the stuff I have. Like, I would love to play music with you. And then that was like in the fall, and then 6 months later, he just hit me up and said, let's do it. And then we've literally been playing ever since.
And it's a lot of playing. Like playfulness as well, I'm assuming, with what you have.
Oh, yeah. So we meet every Saturday, and it's just like hanging out. And we'll create music. We'll come up with new like ideas on how we want to make connections to our music, like what it portrays visually or even, you know, lyrically. So.
And then you hit up the swap meets and thrift markets stores together. Yeah. Where do you get your gear?
Yeah.
I've pretty much gotten everything on eBay.
eBay's a good, I mean, that's the direction to go. You were talking about old sort of gear. My best friend and I are kind of, let's say, obsessed with VHS, with videotapes, right? And so I don't know where we're at. We're probably
a lot.
Six.
I've seen it. It's 7,000
tapes.
And stacks,
you know?
Oh, wow.
So it's a ridiculous amount. And it's one of those things where in my head, this is a fantasy retirement, you know what I mean?
All right, no spoilers, but you're going to love the show tonight. Oh.
I wish my friend was here for that, But that being said, there's something special about the videotapes. It's nostalgia, but it's more than that, you know? It's everything else that's attached. But I do know that most of my VCRs have been through eBay. Yeah. And I pick them up here and there. I don't even probably want to tell you how many VCRs I have. I have a bunch. I think I just got a new Betamax not too long ago too, because I've got this pretty good collection of old Beta tapes as well.
It's mostly Raiders of the Lost Ark, be honest.
There's a lot of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I don't, you must have 17 Raiders of the Lost Ark, the same movie.
Listen, you can't have enough. That's all I can say about that. Yeah.
Who was your influence growing up, and how did you end up in synth?
I actually didn't listen to a lot of synth stuff. I was into like punk music is mainly what I did growing up. And it was really just I enjoyed modifying the old computing equipment or old toys and things like that. And I was just getting piles and piles of stuff that I wasn't making music with, but that I should be. Mm. And then just one day I was like, okay, I have to start using this to make music.
Now I have to ask the question. Was that you as a child just taking apart your toys, or when did that start?
Mainly in high school.
I was actually
like a really obedient kid growing up, and so I would never take my toys apart. But in high school, I started getting interested in electronics, and I didn't really have any education on it, so I just looked up a few tutorials online and just kind of started from there.
Because, see, that's my thought, too, and this is obviously a slightly different world for me, but I'm thinking not a lot of mentors in that category, so probably a lot of just exploring. And exploring sounds and what comes out of these sounds. And
yeah.
So what are we looking forward to for tonight without giving away too much? Because this will be released next week, so after this performance. And so if that's...
Yeah, the podcast is not live. So. It is, of course. So everyone's missing it, and it's sold out, so it doesn't matter anyway. But what is Conquer Monster? Yeah, what can we expect this evening?
Not your average dome show.
Nice. I think that alone, I'm there. You
know, so technically last night was the first concert ever that happened in the dome.
Oh, wow.
So tonight's the second concert that ever happened in there.
So you broke it in.
Yeah. So that's the most exciting part. That was the most exciting part for us, is that it was the first opportunity to play music live in the dome. And then we kind of just hit the ground running with what could we do to make it special. And it turned out awesome. We love it.
How'd that conversation start? Who were you talking to? How'd you end up in the space?
So Derek Dyer from the Utah Arts Alliance contacted us. And last year at Illuminate, we did a special video for the Regent Street projections. Mm-hmm. And that was really great. And so I think the fact that we made a 90-minute video for that, he just thought we would be perfect for this project. So
relationships, that's what it's all about. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the performance this evening is, a 30, 40-minute set or something?
It
34, is.
33. See?
I like that.
Runtime. Runtime. It's on lock. Is this something like, can you tour? Like, is this exclusive to this evening? Like,
we have been talking with the planetarium. They said they are going to put us in connections with other planetariums to give us the opportunity to actually tour with this show.
That would be amazing.
Potentially.
Yeah. Having not even seen it yet, I'm like, hey, can you?
I'm down.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday we were talking about it. Dome tour. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
Especially if it puts you in some old planetariums. I can just imagine in my head. That's fantastic. Because there is a certain association still, particularly, you know, maybe with my age. We were just talking about Laser Floyd shows, shows and that type of stuff.
We used to bring dates to Salt Lake to go to the planetarium to watch Laser Floyd.
But there's something special about a planetarium space, so I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
So what are you working on now? What's the next thing? Is there an event? Do you record what you do?
They look very secretive right now.
Well, so this actually came at a good time for us because like Daniel already said, we like to group thing. Like, we've done comic book. We've also done a ballet.
Obviously.
Yeah. and this dome show came. Our next album, we wanted to tie in with a movie that we're writing. And so this has given us, like, kind of our first shot at making a film. Because there's film elements as well as live elements.
I want to go about 5 years into the future at this rate right here, you know. How far ahead do you kind of plan things out? Is it just this next step? Do you stay sort of as present as you can? Is that how quick things evolve? Or do you have like a bank of things that you would love to do?
That's a good question. I haven't been able to think about anything else
other than this
show for the last three months.
Completely understand. Yep.
But no, like you said, we've been working on this movie, and this event really pushed us to put it into fruition and like test it out. So it's definitely sort of like the test version of what our next album is going to be. This show mixes old songs and new songs, but the album will be all new songs with a similar concept.
I love the sheer mystery factor of this conversation.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued. Yeah, I have no idea what's going on right now.
I'm just hearing Commodore and old videotapes, and I'm just completely sold. I'm your number one fan right now.
Josh, what piece of equipment have you not got your hands on yet that you really need to find?
What do we need to keep an eye out for? Yeah. Thrift stores and
eBay.
Yeah,
when we're online.
And think of you.
One of the... I don't know a lot about them, but one of the old BBC machines. A lot of people sequenced them in the 80s. I don't know. I don't know a lot about them, though. But
that's, I guess, the thrill of the whole, you know, of the fight of these things. And then finding what you can get out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Daniel, what piece of equipment would you never sell?
My 1980 Korg Delta. My first synth ever.
Yeah? Yeah.
I 1980,
that is old, yeah.
A few of my synths are 1980s. That's why eBay is so handy. But that was my first synth, and it'll always be like extremely like sentimental to me.
Is it being used this evening?
No, it's on my shelf.
Okay.
It needs a good cleaning, but it has a beautiful string setting that is just so warm. It's an analog synth, so. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I need to get that checked up and ready to go.
Very cool. So Conquer Monster again is tonight at Illuminate 8 p.m. at the Clark Planetarium, but it is sold out and you're hearing this post anyway. So Daniel Romero, Joshua Faulkner,
it was fantastic.
It was
so
good.
We were surprised every second. I couldn't believe that thing happened at the end. That was completely unexpected.
Everyone is now very interested. So we have to figure out, how do we find you? How do we follow you? How do we get in touch with Conquer Monster?
So Conquer Monster is pretty unique. So if you just search Conquer Monster, you should be able to find us. We have two shows coming up at the Urban Lounge. One at the end of this month with John Mao, who's a really cool artist. And then in December, we're opening for Magic Sword, which is a really cool synthwave band from Boise.
I have to ask the question. You've probably had this asked before, but you're, you know, the first time in the van. So Conquer Monster, where'd the name come from? Do you remember?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Are you guys familiar with Deltron 3030?
I have.
It's rap.
I want to play along so much, but no, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, it's pretty iconic album. Came out in 2000, and there's just a song called Madness, and there's a line where he just says, "Conquer my sponsors, they're monsters."
Oh my gosh!
And the Conquer Monster together just sounded awesome.
You just knew. Was that always the name, or did you have evolving names as you were kind of working together?
I joined later on. So it was already Conquer Monster. Yeah. So when we met, I saw them playing at a party, and I was like, please be my friends. And then eventually we played for a year as a trio, and then our other member just went his own way, and then we started writing Metatransit, which was our first release together, and then that's kind of how things just spiked from there.
You guys good as a duo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I couldn't ask for a better bandmate.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. We do so much together that it just works out so well.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking some time for us. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on the turnout last night and tonight as well. That's very exciting. And we can't wait to see you on these upcoming shows at the Urban Lounge.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yep. Thanks.
Oh, you guys are awesome. I cannot wait.